From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. In Denmark today, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said the U.S. supports a fund that will eventually grow to $100 billion a year to help the developing world adapt to climate change. That offer is an attempt to break a deadlock at the U.N. climate conference. NPR's Richard Harris reports from Copenhagen.
Money is a key issue in these talks. Yesterday, Africa and Europe agreed in principle to an aid fund that would reach $100 billion a year by 2020. Today, Secretary of State Clinton said the United States would accept that as a goal as well. But she was quick to add that the U.S. would only sign on to a deal if other conditions are met. She said the deal in Copenhagen must lead to fast action as opposed to pledges of further negotiations. And she said all major emitters must not only commit to emissions reduction targets, but they also need to be open enough to show the world how those are being met. China has steadfastly refused to a binding obligation that would commit it to verify its emissions reductions. Richard Harris, NPR News, Copenhagen.
Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi has left a hospital in Milan. He'd been there since being attacked 4 days ago by a mentally ill man at a political rally. Berlusconi left the hospital with his face bandaged, his nose and two teeth were broken, and his face and lips were cut in the attack. Authorities in Yemen are claiming some success against al-Qaeda. A security official says airstrikes, followed by a ground operation targeting a training camp, killed 30 suspected militants. Separately, the Interior Ministry says four potential suicide bombers were killed in an operation northeast of the capital, and 17 suspected militants were arrested. The U.S. Treasury Department has reversed course and will delay the sale of its 34% stake in Citigroup just 2 days after agreeing to the bank's plan to shed the government's support. NPR's John Itzeb reports.
According to a person familiar with the situation but not authorized to speak publicly, the Treasury will hold on to its Citigroup shares for at least 90 days and then sell them by the end of next year. The Treasury made the decision because the offering price of new shares Citigroup is selling to pay off its $20 billion debt to the government is only $3.15 a share. That's lower than the $3.25 the government paid for its shares, and the Treasury doesn't want to sell at a loss. The price of the new shares is lower than Citigroup expected, partly because investors still have concerns about the firm's health. Also, the market was flooded by new shares from another banking giant, Wells Fargo, which is raising funds to pay back the government, too. John Itzeb, NPR News, Washington.
Citigroup is offering a holiday break to some homeowners facing foreclosure. The bank says it's suspending foreclosures and evictions for 30 days. It estimates about 4,000 borrowers will be affected. The head of Citi's mortgage division says the company is working on some long-term alternatives to foreclosure, but has declined to be specific. This is NPR News. Vice President Joe Biden will be in Georgia today to announce federal stimulus funds to improve rural broadband. From Georgia Public Broadcasting, Ricky Bevington reports.
Vice President Biden will be at the Impulse Manufacturing Plant in Dawsonville in rural North Georgia. It makes parts for companies across the globe, but poor broadband means the owner has trouble sending plans and images over the internet. Such internet bottlenecks are a tough sell for counties trying to lure and expand business. And that's why Dawson County Economic Development Director Charlie Overman says counties not only need the physical infrastructure to attract new companies, they need broadband.
Today, with modern technologies, you have to add broadband or connectivity, telecommunications connectivity to that list.
Overman predicts once the system is in place, there is a huge potential for job growth. For NPR News, I'm Ricky Bevington in Atlanta.
The father of a climber missing and presumed dead on Oregon's Mount Hood says he bears no grudge against the mountain for taking his daughter. And David Nolan told a news conference that he understands why searchers are pessimistic about finding her.
We are confident that they did, you know, the very best job that they could do. That's like trying to find a needle in a haystack when you're out there looking for people.
Authorities have officially suspended the search for Nolan and climbing partner Anthony Vietti. They say efforts will turn to recovery of the two bodies when weather permits. The body of another member of their group was found Saturday. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.